Hello, welcome to my podcast, Digital Dada. I'm Cecilia Maundu, a broadcast journalist from Nairobi, Kenya, and I'm also a digital security trainer. Today, we are discussing the rise of online violence during COVID-19. There has been a surge on online violence during this period, and the most targeted people are women journalists, women politicians, basically women with voices online. And today, to discuss this issue with me is none other than Jerida Andai, who is a senior journalist at Citizen Radio. Jerida herself has been a victim of online violence, and she's here to talk about her experience and give advice on how to mitigate this violence. Jerida, karibu sana.
Oh, hi. Nice to see you, Cecilia. And nice to be here with you.
Thank you so much.
My name is Jerida Andai. I am a broadcast journalist. I head Radio Citizen, which is Kenya's leading FM station.
Let me just say, we are very excited and thrilled to have you here. So, Jerida, you are one of the people who have been violated online in the recent past. Mm-hmm. Let me first start saying I'm very sorry about that. I just want you to tell us a bit about your story, how it has been, how you've been handling online violence, so that when someone else is listening outside there, they can be able also to know how to handle it, how you've been able to sustain yourself online. I've not seen you trying to self-censor yourself, which is very good. You've not left the online platform.
Yeah,
so, Jerida, tell us.
I considered all that you're talking about. I considered shutting down, especially my Facebook page. I considered answering people on my Facebook page. I considered deleting everyone, you know, and starting a fresh page. What happened, you know, because of COVID, companies are downsizing. So my company is one of the companies that have gone through that process of redundancy. Let me say retrenchment. So I lead a team, and some people on my team, they were retrenched. Like, it's in the public. I mean, so if anything happens to anyone in a radio station, especially a radio station as popular as the one I had, Radio Citizen, people will know. And so when people saw that one of my lead presenters had been retrenched, they went on a rant on my page.
And you are the one bearing the...
I am the one bearing that brand. Wow. And I didn't know about it, by the way. I didn't know that people were calling me names. I continued, you know, it's normal. I mean, so me, I would go to my Instagram, Facebook, put a post, say something. I didn't know the comments that come in, because don't go back like every day to check what people have said. That posts I put, and I go back when I have time. I go through their comments, I reply, I comment, I do all that. Sometimes I don't. Unfortunately, this is the week that I was very busy, and so I didn't get the time to go back. So every day I'm putting a post, well, at least a post, and then I don't go back. So that ranting went on for like 3 days.
So all that time you are unaware that...
I don't know what is happening on my page. Okay, so people are there calling me names. Every photo I put up, they start abusing me. Everything I say on social media, they start abusing me. They formed hashtags, they tagged me, they made groups, especially on Facebook. I felt like maybe it was like a group. So every post that goes up, this one comes with a comment, another one answers. So it goes on and on and on and on. And I didn't know all about that until on a Thursday evening. So my sister calls me and is like, what have you done this time on social media? I dismiss her, because she'll always go and then she'll ask me, okay, what's that photo? You know the way family is, when you put up something, they come and ask you, oh, you still have that dress? Or, oh, who was your guest? Because they know you that much. So I dismissed her. Then he said, hey, people have really called you names. I say, okay, people will always call me names. I'm in the public eye. People will always have something for or against me. He says, ah, no, this one looks serious. I dismissed. So we went on, we talked about other things. That went. I didn't still go back to check. Even on radio, when you are on air, people will always come send text messages. Not all of them are good. So you get used. At some point, you develop that thick skin. Nothing ever moves you, whether people call your names, whether people say something negative, you just look at it. And if it's something you need to work on, you work on. So anyway, 2 days later, I meet my big brother and he's like, you need to check the people you are engaging with on social media. I said, okay, why? He says, because I don't like what I've seen there. I said, okay, fine, I'll go and check. Do you know, it's not him who saw. A friend of him saw and took a screenshot and sent to him to tell him what's happening to your sister. Please check to find out. So that's how bad it became. Now, I let it pass again, because now at this point I'm telling myself, I do not want that negativity. I don't want to be pulled down. Oh, I'm not going to check it out. Oh, I'm not.
So you're pushing it away.
I'm pushing it away. Until I went to studio on a Sunday morning, and I decided, because we engage on social media and on air. So I go to my Facebook and I look at a photo I had put there, and the first comment, it just pulled me back like, what? Is this my page? I went to check again. Yeah, it's my page. That really shocked what people.
So what were your immediate feelings about
it? Yeah, it just took all the energy out of me. I was deflated. I felt beaten, you know, because this is really personal for someone to go and write something like that about you. And then people have gone down and replied to that same message. Like
someone trying to
attack
your self-esteem.
Yeah, it was bad. I was on air, I was on live radio. I could not go on for a while. I think I played music for like 15 minutes. I could not say a thing. I was breaking down because I wanted to shut it off. But then I say, let me just read, because I've been told about this and I didn't check. Let me just read. I went through that one post, which had about 2,700 comments.
That's a whole lot.
And those comments, yes. So one will write a comment and then there are people who are replying under it. I had really been attacked. I felt so violated. I felt like I was stripped and beaten in public.
And what did you decide to do at that moment?
Okay, finally I had to get back to my senses and get back to work. So I let it rest for a few minutes. Then my colleague comes in, and then, you know, I'm not myself anymore, but I'm on air. Nobody wants to know whether you are happy or not, so I have to keep on doing the show.
The show has to go on.
Yeah, but I'm just feeling, what's all this? So when she's done with what she's doing, I'm like, I didn't know people attacked me this much on Facebook. She's like, oh, you didn't know? This thing has been going on for a while. I say, oh, you knew?
So you're the only one who didn't know what was happening.
I'm the only one who didn't know. She actually started now opening for me the other group and the hashtag that had been going on and the tags that all the things had been tagged in. I was like, oh, this is about me. He said, Gwani, you don't know these things, because her assumption was I knew and I didn't care. And then there are those who had actually come to my inbox to send me messages.
So you are being attacked from every corner.
From every corner. And then my posts are also getting shared. So it's not just my page. People are attacking me on my page. Some are sharing so that it continues on other public pages. People are also attacking me on the radio station's page. You know, after I talked to my colleague, I felt like, okay, now you guys, but why didn't you tell me? So I called one of the people who does our digital, and they said, yes, we have had to pull down some stuff on the official page because all this thing has been going on. So I was like violated for a whole week without me knowing. But what I did, that particular photo, that one photo, I deleted. Okay, I consider, let me change the caption maybe and write something like, hey, you guys are attacking me for no reason. I said, or let me write something here and say, you guys are idle, you don't know what you are doing. Or let me write something and say, okay, I'm sorry. You know, all those things going through your mind, because now you are angry, you are confused. I said, let me just leave it go. I said, let me do a statement. I said, let me go live, you know, right now and say all this so that everybody who wants to come here can come here and tell me what they want. I thought about so many things. I deleted the photo after playing with it for a while, after trying to edit, after trying to put in the comment section, after trying to reply to some of those comments, because this is the photo where I have read most of those comments. Let me just delete it. It will make me feel better. And I did delete it.
And what did you decide to do at that moment?
Okay. Finally, I had to get back to my senses and get back to work.
Did you feel at some point there were people that who knew you personally were attacking you? Because sometimes trolls are just people in our networks.
Yeah.
Just people around us. You know, yes, they could be strangers because of the nature of your job being in the public domain. But did you feel at some point this one was too direct and started second guessing maybe your friends or even your networks?
Yeah, I reached that point. Even now, I'm still wondering, because people write some stuff that is really personal, that they know that will hit you the wrong place. So I started thinking, either someone is behind this, they have formed this team, or someone has created different accounts to attack me, you know, or they are talking to someone and they're telling them, write this, write that, write this. Because eventually it had nothing to do with the issue at hand. It had nothing to do with that.
And you see, that is what is the issue on online violence. It moves from whatever you've said to being sexist, to attacking your personal lives. You know,
the way you look, they start pulling photos that you had put before and saying, look, she even did this. They start speculating. They say, oh, or is she sleeping with whoever, so and so, so that it's bad. They start digging up information about your family. People start asking, oh, is she married? This one, which man will even, you know, those very
personal stuff, yes.
You know, and objectifying you as a woman. And I believe it's a group maybe it was one person, but then the replies were so many of people saying, women pull each other down. You have just shown us how you are pulling the rest of the women down because you will never let a woman grow up. And that went on. And there was a discussion about that.
Did you feel like you'd want to talk to your family? Because now your siblings had already started seeing those things. Because those are our first concern. Because sometimes online violence moves to offline.
Mm-hmm.
So you are also scared because you have kids
who
are also on this social media platform.
Yeah, I thought about going home to tell my children because I know they are there with me online. But then I said, no, probably they have not seen. And I know they also have their friends. Sometimes you'll put something online and then my 16-year-old will say, oh, mom, how can you do this? My friends who are making fun of me or stuff like that. I actually decided that I will not pay any attention to this.
Did you think at one point to block them?
I thought of that. I thought of blocking them one by one. I thought of answering each person one by one. You know, like in the same tone they were talking to me, I thought of answering them in that same tone one by one. I decided no. I said I need to delete you and block you. I decided no. I remember I even went to my blocked list and I saw I have maybe just 3 people I've blocked because I wanted to add so many people. I said no, it won't help. I did nothing. In the end, after I talked to the pastor and he told me, oh, I'm praying for you. Ignore those people. They don't know you. You know, they're just people who have heard you on radio and have seen you online. They don't know you. People who know you are not going to attack you where you cannot hit back. And he said, people who really know you and they see you have made a mistake and they want the best for you, they will come to you and they will ask you and they will direct you. But someone who cannot face you and they are doing it in an anonymous way, ignore them. I deleted that one photo. I left the rest. I don't care what everyone has written there. I'm telling myself, I don't know these people. They don't know me. They might be going through something I don't know. I am not going to join them in their party. Let them have a party. When the party is done, we will come back and then we'll continue.
Wow. You know, Jarida, when you talk about the violence that you've gone through, some people just do it for fun. They see that Jarida has been abused on Facebook. Like, what more can I do? I can also continue with whatever they are saying. And that's why they don't attack you on the facts. They start attacking you on things which are not related to what you did. And you, as a senior prominent journalist in this country, we've seen not only you, so many journalists during this COVID-19, they've gone through this online violence day in, day out. We've seen today Betty being accused she's in Dubai while she's just here in Kenya, you know. So what would your advice be? Because I know some of them really struggle with this thing, you know, because it gets to you on a personal level. And as I said, as a mother, you're also worried about your own children at the same time. Not even you, but your own children.
My children.
What would be your advice?
Pick the battles you want to fight. If you're not comfortable with what I'm posting, if you're not comfortable with my lifestyle, then clearly you are not my audience. Kindly leave and find someone whom you are comfortable with.
Jarida, these people attack you online, the trolls. They actually don't attack you on facts or whatever you have said. We would say, like, if they attack you on facts, like a presenter, you would say, oh, what can I change? Because by the end of the day, these are still your audience, you know, and we still want to keep our audience because that's why we are there. With no audience, we have no business by the end of the day. But when they start attacking you on how you look, on personal comments, we've seen Okwara being accused of bleaching her skin. We saw Brenda, who was the first COVID patient to come out publicly, being accused of so many things to a point people leaking her photos online. So what do you do? Because there's nothing to change there. Did you think of legal means of handling this thing? Did you try and even approach your bosses? Because I feel like even media houses should have a responsibility towards their journalists.
I considered calling police, but I realized when you're giving power to people who have no power over you, you're just going to create a story. And I got back and told myself, I don't know what people are going through. People are really stressed up this corona period. But I could have gone, and I have that evidence. The insults that I got, they're still on my page, by the way. I only deleted one photo. There are like 6 more photos that was very heavy. The others, it has gone down because I can see the comments. I can see a photo that has like 100 plus comments. I know half of that is insults. A photo that has fewer comments, then I know there are fewer comments during that period. The rest, I've not had that issue. So I know, and I have seen, and I have that evidence, which I could walk with to a police station, and people will be prosecuted for that. And I think maybe that's where we need to get to. But when you are in the media, there is always that feeling of, but this is my audience. There are days they are really nice, and there are days they are bad to me. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. So you just, I let it pass. But if I wanted to pursue it further, I would do it. I have the evidence. It will take time maybe to get them, because some may be using pseudonyms or accounts that they create and delete. But if I wanted, the evidence is there, and I will do it. But I just ask myself, what will it? It's extending a bad incident, you know, a bad episode. You don't want it to go on and on and on and on and on, and standing in court and saying how they abused you or insulted you. So I, being a public figure, you start thinking, do I want to draw any extra attention to me?
You see, you mentioned something very interesting, how emotionally draining the court process will be. And that is what also is giving these trolls power, because they know even if you start following it legally, it will be more draining and even financially draining on your side than on their side.
Yes.
So what is the way forward? What is the answer? Because at some point, this issue has to be taken care of. Especially right now, we know in 2022 we are going to election. It's going to be even worse, you know. So what are we going to do to be able to protect women with voices online like yourself?
I don't know. Maybe we need to use our voices in a different way, okay? I felt at some point that I failed, because this is not the first time I'm getting attacked online, actually. But I just chose to talk about this incident. I've been attacked before. I think that was even worse, because now that was a video that was shared everywhere. And I think we need to use our voices more to tell people about their engagements on social media.
Public sensitization about this issue.
Exactly.
Because there are some people who feel like, oh, this is not violence. Just because I'm behind the keyboard, it's like, oh, that's not violence. Yes, you are abused on social media, so what? Just because it's online does not make it less harmful.
It is very harmful. Especially what I like to tell people in the groups that I'm in, stop sharing videos. You know a video where someone has done something bad?
Yes.
And then you share that video?
That is called second perpetrator of online violence.
Exactly.
You are doing the same thing now. You are even making it worse by sharing.
You are now broadcasting it. Hey, did you see this? It is the same thing like if someone put up a post you didn't like and then you are sharing it. You are sharing links so that you have seen people have really abused someone. And then you share that link. You are like, oh my God, why are people telling her this? You are not even helping. Some people think they're helping. You are not helping. I saw my friend Ruth Matete when she lost her husband, and she's my very good friend, and the online trolls and people were sharing that link everywhere, and I said, this woman has lost her husband. She's in mourning.
She's
you
pregnant.
You are not helping. Yeah, there's a pregnant woman who has lost her husband, who is so confused because she has so much going on. She has police to deal with. She has bills to pay, she has all this, and then you are still sharing this. It doesn't help. So what people should do when you see someone is being called names on social media, kindly don't share it. Or don't call someone, tell them, hey, have you seen what people are talking about you on social media? Just tell them that if you know that there is something they can do about it. Sometimes there is not much you can do. So taking that video, that photo, doing a screenshot of someone's comment that you know everyone is reacting to and sharing it is bad.
And why do you think that online violence has become so bad during this COVID-19 period?
Everyone is online. People have a little more time on their hands, and people are anxious. People want to know what's happening. Number two, people are so anxious about the situation that is happening around the world. So they are searching for information about COVID. That's why it's very easy for people to find one of those bad posts that people are sharing, and they join in the party.
So what is your parting shot on how to mitigate online violence?
The best thing we can do right now is raise our voice. We have to let people know that this is violence.
So, Jerida, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for telling us your story. This episode has been made possible by Czech Global Microgrants. It's going to be on SoundCloud and YouTube. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us your comment. We would want to hear what you think about it. Until next time, bye.